Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 744. I am currently in Las Vegas at the Myra Schaffrier wedding. And so if you were at the Walking Dead event, then I missed you in Madison Square Garden. But I'm here for my buddy Matt Myra in Las Vegas. So I hope you had a good time. And look forward to seeing you Sunday on Talking Dead. Here's what's going on the corkboard. The Nerdist Community Corkboard. What's that email? events@nerdist.com. I'm talking to myself because I'm used to having other people with me in the room. Michael writes, I'm a big Nerdist podcast fan and also producer on the feature film Dude Bro Party Massacre 3, so I thought I would reach out and try to get on the corkboard. Well, you've made it. DBPM3 is the debut feature film by online comedy group 5 Second Films. The film was funded by a successful Kickstarter campaign. It features Patton Oswalt, Greg Sester, Andrew W.K., John Francis Daly, Nina Hartley, Larry King. Yes, that Larry King. It is currently available for sale on their website, Dude Bro Party Massacre 3. That's the number 3. And for the month of October, 30% off Halloween sale if people use the promo code SPOOKY. All right, great job. Michael, thank you. Congratulations. And from the Nerdist School, say you make up songs in the shower and you want to share your talent with the world. Well, you're in luck, friend. On October 18th, the Los Angeles Nerdist School is featuring a musical improv workshop to teach you how to improvise songs in front of a live audience. Learn how to use the mechanics improvisers and songwriters use to create good show-stopping songs. I don't know what to write with songs. Schlongs, bongs, dongs. See, like, how many of those were dick-related? This is why I should probably attend this class. And also how to use those mechanics to improvise songs with a piano player. Right? He's like working with someone else. There's a lot of yes and there. Musical experience is not required. Next workshop is October 18th. Check out nerdistschool.com/musical improv. That sounds amazing. And go improvise musically at your leisure. All right. This episode is Jack Black. Jack Black, third time back on the podcast. He's got two things that you should know about. Number one, Festival Supreme, Saturday, October 10th. Tickets and info at festivalsupreme.com. And then next Friday, October 6th. Oh, by the way, Festival Supreme lineup this year is amazing again, so you should go if you're around. And next Friday, October 16th, Goosebumps. R.L. Stein's Goosebumps. Jack Black plays R.L. Stein in Goosebumps. But we just did a screening of it here in Los Angeles, and it's really fun. It's a really fun, silly monster movie for kids. Like, if you're, like, a Monster Squad fan or anything like that, you will love Goosebumps, and you should take your kids to it, if, you know. Because, hey, listen, maybe little kids shouldn't be watching intense horror. I mean, I did, but yeah, it's when you're an adult, you tell kids not to do things you did. So Goosebumps, Friday, October 16th, in theaters. Thank you to Jack Black for coming back on the podcast. Here's Nerdist Podcast number 744 with Jack Black. Katie, roll the thing.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Enormous pocket you must have.
You're not doing the bit, Matt. You're not doing the NPR bit.
I'm sorry.
Matt, where did you get those glasses?
Pocket must be enormous.
You've got some crazy new glasses.
Lens crafters?
No, I understand that you got them from a glasses store.
Well, I lost my other glasses, Chris.
What'd you do with your other glasses?
Well, I found them in my shed 2 days after I got these.
It's a ghost! Yeah. Supernatural, paranormal.
Really not happy about it. These are uncomfortable.
No.
But they're my new prescription.
Are they too tight on your skull?
They're too tight on the back of my ear.
That's a problem I have a lot, because my head is abnormally large. But that's a problem that a lot of movie stars have.
They have big heads?
Yeah. Yeah.
All of them?
Well.
Check it.
For the most part,
check
yeah.
the stats.
What stats? Where is that written down?
You didn't know about the Hollywood stats? It's just like baseball.
I didn't know about Hollywood
Every
stats.
Every dimension.
There's an old hat store up in Burbank that used to make all, like they made Indiana Jones's hat, et cetera, et cetera. They made a bunch of hats for a bunch of movies, and they're still there, and they make, you know, you want to get a 10-gallon hat, you want to get like a cab driver hat, you go there, they'll make one for you, and they have all like the head sizes of the people they fitted for. Hats and
How'd you do?
I got a giant head.
See, you could be a movie star.
Dude, airplane mode.
I'm sorry.
That was what it was all about.
Yeah, Matt.
Some motion detection in my shed / backyard, guys.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's probably the cat. There's a cat in the neighborhood that likes to live in my backyard. Yeah, I did that at the Titanic slot machine last week.
You know what? I did that, and then I've got this case that I was told... indestructible.
Whoa.
I could literally throw it as hard as I can at that brick wall and it would be no shatter.
Well,
and?
I haven't tested it, but so far so good.
I don't know if it's going to work
as you can see.
If you don't test it out. Well, you also got like a nice screen protector on there and you got
he's really doing it right.
What do you mean a screen protector?
Looks like that's a glare.
No, it's all like part it's all just part of the
it's all part of the beautiful engineering.
I went ahead and just ordered the 6S Plus just cuz
the Plus?
Yeah, I ordered the Plus, the 6S Plus.
I wasn't going to until I did that. So
Now you might as well. No,
you don't even know what the new like things are. You're like, whatever.
Yes, I do.
You do.
It has a better camera, it has a stronger casing, and it has a force touch.
Force touch?
You mean haptic feedback?
That sounds
feedback?
Like
it's not haptic feedback. Force touch.
You go to jail for it.
Your Honor, I mean,
you play.
Look at the phone. Yeah, look at the case it had on it.
Imagining you play Darth Vader at kids' parties and you get arrested for force touch.
But it was just my iPhone. Well, that was the worst Darth Vader anyone's ever done in the history of Darth Vader's.
Well, they
force touch is basically like.
Is it like the foreskin?
It's like a foreskin.
There you go. There you go. Jables.
It's a European. It's a European. It's an iPhone with a little turtleneck on it.
It's adorable.
It's basically like different levels of pressure create different.
Great.
Okay.
I'm way on board.
All right,
I didn't watch any of it. I don't know anything about it.
Matt used to be a worker at the Genius Bar, so ever since he left Apple, he's actively not. Interested in anything.
Yeah, and I was at CTIA.
You've become a Luddite?
Yeah, I was at CTIA last week for Nokia and Wired, and I didn't even pay attention. No one talked about the phone at the mobile phone conference.
Well, it's not really a massive update. It's a minor minor refresh with some couple new bells and whistles.
Wait, did you say you were at the Nokia? It was the Nokia convention?
It was such a
sad, empty convention. No one buys the Nokia phones
I'll
anymore.
Have you know, guys, Nokia is the leader in network technology. They don't make phones anymore. They sold it to Microsoft, and then Microsoft tanked the brand.
And so now what's at the Nokia convention if they don't have phones anymore? It's just a big empty...
CTIA Mobility Conference.
Oh, you went to CTIA.
The Internet of Things, guys.
But dude, everything have you seen the Steve Jobs doc?
The one with Michael Fassbender or the documentary?
The documentary.
No.
Seen the Michael Fassbender. Have they even started shooting yet?
Yeah, they're done.
It's rolling out in October.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they can't beat the doc. The doc is stone cold revelation. It's revelatory.
And it's one that's probably not... super endorsed by the all right.
It's by the same dude that did the Scientology doc. So he's all about like, you know, exposing the But you know, there's no denying his while it like exposed sort of creepiness about him, it also reinforced the idea of how huge impact he had on society.
Was it just the story of you know, sometimes the crazy geniuses aren't the best people to their families because they're so wrapped up in their own thing? Is it was that kind of the
yeah? It was just the way that the product seemed to bring people together and seemed super personal and all about like this movement of genius and sort of like left wing forward progression is the way it kind of feels.
Yeah,
the reality of Stephen Jobs was much different. He was seemed to be super antisocial and cutthroat and didn't really have any kind of moral compass with regard to like, let's do something for humanity.
So it wasn't really an altruistic, right? Not yeah, in according the way to this documentary.
Yeah, but still an amazing dude. It was such a great story. I didn't really know about his spiritual side and that whole like thing with the monks and the monasteries. It was really well done.
I didn't know anything. I didn't know about monks and monasteries.
Dude, it all started with him as a teenager, like searching for the answer. You know, going to India,
like Bruce Wayne,
with his butt. Yes, very he was similar. Very much.
He was
a
brought up by Ra's al Ghul,
and perhaps he led a double life.
They blew the purple flowers in Steve Jobs' face, and he woke up in a cave. But instead of being attacked by bats, he was attacked by apples.
What a lame superhero! It's a Stephen Jobs gets in his tidy uniform. And
well, if like Bruce Wayne had just invested in some consumer technology, maybe that'd be how bad.
Yeah, no, it's more like Miracle Man. Remember the evil dude from Miracle Man, the Alan Moore comic book. Sends chills down the spine. That was his masterpiece before the Minutemen. It was all about Miracle Man.
Now, how come you haven't done more comic book movies?
Well, you know that I tried. I came close to almost getting one going with Robert Smigel at the helm of Green Lantern. But yeah, they chose to go more studly traditional route, and we see how that turned out. So,
yeah, he's got another franchise.
That would have been amazing.
Yeah, but see.
So you would be Hal Jordan.
Look at how good it works out for me, though. I didn't have to make the movie, and I can claim that I would have been 10 times better.
But now
I kind of win.
Prove me wrong, America. Yeah. You can't.
But just in the terms of film cycles,
yeah,
well, you could reboot it again. Like it could happen. True. It could. You absolutely could do Green Lantern now.
That's the beauty of Green Lantern. Anyone could
can be. All you need is a fucking ring.
Yeah.
You just need the ring. Oh, that'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
How do we make that happen?
Oh, it's just sitting there.
Millions of dollars.
I got like $300 on me right now. Is
in
that
20s?
Is that just give heavy. That? You're saying let's make it? I think we actually have to go through the proper channels.
What?
I think Warner Brothers would have something to say.
I
about
don't think
that.
So. I think you can just make stuff now, right?
I don't know. Oh, right. If it's on the Wild West. Known as the internet.
No, I think we should just make a movie, invest every cent that we have collectively, just put it out there and see what happens.
Yeah.
I wonder how fast they could shut it down. Like, I mean, you could just go make prints, send it to theaters.
Well, yeah, I think it depends on. That's a good.
No, they can only shut it down if you're making money, I think, is the rule.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know.
We'll just use Creative Studio account and be like, I'm sorry, we've always been in the red on this. We're not making any money.
Although I remember this amazing by the guys, Dan Harmon and what's his name that do that? Morty?
Justin Roiland.
Justin Roiland, genius. He used to have this little cartoon he was working on that was on the internet. Remember that competitive internet show that Dan Harmon ran?
It was Channel 101.
And he had this one called House of Cosbys. And it was just a Cosby hair fell. And they cloned another Cosby, and then they cloned more and more Cosbys. And it was a house full of like these different versions of Cosbys. And it was so funny and weird. And he got the cease and desist from the Cosby Corp. And he wasn't making any money on it or anything. So I guess that it doesn't really hold true.
Well, of course, you know, the Cosby Corporation is very sticklers for anything legal.
Yeah.
You know, like they're really respectful of the law.
Dude, he would love to have House of Cosbys be the thing that he's
I don't think
for
humanity
now.
Wants that.
No.
But I think I think people, you know, it's funny. I'm sure people always go, "Why come you don't do this?" Or "How come you don't do this?" Kind of a without really understanding. You know, the film business really is not like YouTube. You know,
right.
Like there's a process, and it's very difficult to make things.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can do whatever pops into your mind as long as you don't mind doing it for free with your iPhone and a couple pals in the backyard. But when it comes to making actual motion pictures, you have to have the backing of major financiers, and it's gotten tighter as time has gone by. The little guys are getting choked out a little bit, or so they say.
I've noticed that on Shark Tank.
Yeah. What?
It's good. The money's not as readily flowing as it used to be.
Really?
Yeah.
So our economy's not as...
Listen, 2008 affected one, right? A lot of people.
One? What?
2008. That really, you know, it's everybody's excuse for having a failing restaurant on Kitchen Nightmares. 2008.
What happened in 2008 specifically that affected the restaurant business?
It was that everybody had no money. They're trying to save their houses. They couldn't go out to restaurants or bars. You watch a bar rescue, everything happens. 2008. Boom. But these shows wouldn't exist without 2008. Thank you.
And but then do people like John Taffer or Gordon Ramsay go, stop making excuses?
I've heard Ramsay tell someone to not talk like 2008 was 6 years ago. Get over it.
Have you seen Nathan for You?
Of course,
the best.
And absolutely,
that's what it's kind of a takeoff on all those shows where a guy comes in and saves the failing business.
And he essentially pranks people in the process, too.
Yes, he saves it, but at the same time, it's the worst ideas for saving a company. But the genius is that it kind of does save the company. it almost always works.
Yeah.
He always draws a huge crowd that comes into the doors of the business, but it's because... You know, he introduces the poop-flavored ice cream at the ice cream shop.
But the dog demographic goes way up. That's weird. We got all these dogs now and no more people.
Well, no. People come out of curiosity. It's just an insane idea, and it should backfire completely. But I love that guy. I can't wait for the next season.
I feel like I would be the... I feel like if I had that cinematic moment where I was like, you know, I'm tired of trying to do the best thing. I'm just going to do the worst ideas ever. I feel like then I would completely end up in failure. Like they wouldn't.
It was like George Costanza when he went in to do the opposite of what he was always doing, and he wanted to get fired from the Yankees, and they just promoted him because it was like great. Great idea. That came from Larry David actually trying to do the opposite of his natural instinct, and it worked out amazingly.
Well, let's just talk about a little show called Heat Vision and Jack.
Oh, my God. Well, hey, speaking of which, Dan Harmon.
Dan Harmon
again.
Another
amazing melting upwards career.
let's turn
it
in.
It seems like it's the end every time. Oh, that did it. He stuck it to the man too hard that time. He'll never be seen again. He'll never work in this town again. But then he gets the weird, crazy promotion.
Yeah, I think there's something about if you come from kind of a weird place, I think that the business just doesn't really know what to do with you. So like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's okay because he seems so sure of it.
Yeah.
But
well,
also
he's incredibly
talented.
One of the
funniest people in the world. We did a show at Meltdown the other night called Friday 40, and he opened with a story about how sad he was about the fact that his cat was really ill, and he was genuinely sad about it, and he still was able to make people laugh with his sad cat story.
Yeah,
that's how fucking funny Dan Harmon is.
Well, I don't think he's going for the laugh. He just
he's
actually
not going for the laugh.
Yeah, the laughs
honest.
Finds him.
Yeah,
from the truth,
which is almost like that bad. It was almost like that bad Twilight Zone episode we were talking about yesterday.
There's no such thing.
There are a couple.
Really?
Yeah. Katie, we're just trying to get Katie to watch Twilight Zone because it is one of the greatest shows in the history of television. But there are one or two that don't quite hold up as well.
Tell me about this one, this legendary bad Twilight Zone episode.
This is one about a comedian, and then he when he talks about how horrible his life, people laugh. And he's like, no! And he's almost kind of in this prison that no one will take him, you know, it's everything he says they laugh at.
It sounds
it's probably
good to
some
me.
Sort of like a...
I think it's worth another look-see.
Like a devil clause.
What season was that? Was that like the last season they were running out of good Twilight
just
Zone
running
ideas?
Out of weird... Running out of... Rod Serling is just doing this with his thumb and his index finger. Ah! Oh!
Dude, have you watched this show? I love it. It's my new favorite show. The End of the World? No. Last Man on Earth.
Last Man on Earth, yeah, Will Forte.
Will Forte, ugh, he just continues to cement his legacy as one of the greats. But that whole concept, I realized, is Twilight Zone pilot episode number one.
You think so?
Dude, it's the
Last Man
on
Earth, yeah.
You watch that episode and tell me you don't think, wait.
But then he was just in an isolation chamber to test for prolonged spaceflight.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I haven't talked to Will Forte. But I bet you any amount of money that he watched that first Stony Twilight Zone pilot and had an idea based on it.
Okay, so here's what we need to do. We need to take some other Twilight Zone episodes and build series on them. So
you think I didn't think of that when I realized? The next three are not quite as solid.
My series is called
after three. Nothing here.
I stopped digging. Yeah, maybe I should have watched a few more. That's my shortcoming. I don't have great follow through. Hey, genius takes patience that I don't have.
You get the inspiration, and then it's like, where do we go from here? I don't know. I don't really feel like
it's the curse of the ADD. That's why actors have ADD, directors don't. I want to say a different three letter thing. OCD. Thank you. Thank you. That's the formula.
What?
That's the E=MC² of entertainment. Your mind is blown. Here's another one that's an interesting formula I invented.
Okay.
Soft cock, hard R.
Yeah.
Hard cock, X.
Yes. That's what it is.
Equals X.
Boner equals X. Rated X, the very popular rating that so many films get nowadays. Rated X.
Is there an X
if
anymore?
Soft cock equals R.
If that it does. It
I'm
absolutely,
trying to
it absolutely frame does.
It's a great if then. More like mathematical terms.
Well, yeah, that's true because, you know, even in Watchmen, Dr. Manhattan, the flaccid cock the entire time.
Hard R.
But if it...
Especially if it's a gigantic blue cock.
But if that had even been slightly erect, X-Men.
I appreciated the way that they stayed true to the original source material of Watchmen and showed that big blue cock because that would have been, you know, the thing that the studio would have pushed back on.
Oh, yeah,
really
yeah, yeah.
Hard.
If they had tried to, right.
But I think that they even paid attention to like the way it swung in, when he walked around.
They had to work on the dick physics.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really worked on the dick physics to make sure that
120 guys pinpointing the dick physics.
That, I can't imagine, like there was one team's job their entire job was to animate that penis and just make sure that it had the right.
Well, it's like Batman's cape. It took like 200 people to animate Batman's cape.
Can I hit you with one more equation?
I demand that you do.
And this one, actually, there is a correct answer. Mm-hmm. If Ben folds 5 pieces of laundry,
mm-hmm.
How many does Ben folds 5?
God damn it.
15, if they're all working at the same rate.
That's right, because there's only 3 members of Ben Folds 5. It's a trick question. A lot of people would have said 25. I can't believe you said they're right.
Wow. It's his new glasses.
Well, it's also Ben Folds 5. It's false advertising. You think there's going to be 5 musicians.
Yeah.
Well done.
But there's
You're
not.
Welcome. You're welcome.
But I just realized Matt looks like Ricky Vaughn from...
I'm ready to throw some pitches, Chris. I can finally see the catcher's glove.
You just need the little skull and crossbones on the side of your glasses.
I need an Indians hat instead of this Red Sox hat. I'm good to go.
Yeah, you almost do. You kind of do look like
that. So we don't like these glasses? Is that what you're saying?
Actually, I do. They're kind of growing on me.
I'm trying to figure out, because I got, you know, the wedding's coming.
Yeah.
I got to figure out which glasses I'm going to wear.
Matt's getting married in a month.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
Good. I mean, it's coming. You know, it's barreling down. I got to make a lot of choices. I got to go get the tux altered. I got to go figure out if I want to go white dinner jacket at the reception.
Yep.
With a red carnation a la James Bond and Goldfinger Inspector.
Of course.
She's not into it. She's like, I don't want you cosplaying at my wedding. I was like, it's like, it's not cosplaying. It's the greatest.
Well, you're already forcing her to get married in Las Vegas.
Gentlemen
which I think
of all,
is
not, a, that's not a force. She was into that.
You know, I heard the story that she was like, well, it's halfway between Boston and LA. I'm like, no, it's not. Like,
it is.
Kansas is halfway between LA.
Yeah, but who the fuck's going to go to Kansas?
Well, I'm just saying it's not technically halfway. It's an hour. It's a 50-minute flight.
Chris,
from LA.
Let me ask
like
you this. How are you getting there?
I'm going to fly.
All right. Well, it's easy for you. But yeah. I'm driving. We're just going to throw the stuff in the car and drive 4 hours. Parents are coming in from the East Coast. They're going to fly 4 hours.
But that doesn't mean that
halfway.
It's halfway.
Halfway.
That's not how it works. That's not how distance works.
I'm sure Jack's got an equation that makes that make sense.
Yeah. Car equals an airplane squared.
Did you do anything crazy for your wedding?
We eloped.
Oh, smart.
Because, yeah, there was all kinds of family drama at the time, and we're like, oh, God, no, who's going to even show up? And then where's people going to sit that don't speak to each other? And, oh, good Lord. And also, how expensive will it be? So we just disappeared and went to Big Sur, which happens to be the most beautiful spot on the planet.
Gorgeous.
Because it's where, like, gigantic redwood trees and gorgeous ocean mist and cliffs of Dover collide.
And marry. That's where they marry. It's where the trees marry the ocean.
It is. It's where a sequoia has sex with a beach. It's insane.
All under God's watch.
Yeah. And there's like whales jumping through the air. So that was where we decided to tie the knot. And there was like a hippie lady named Soaring who oversaw the ceremony.
Your name can be a gerund?
Yeah. When you live in Big Sur.
I guess it can be.
Your name can be anything rules. There.
Yeah, I guess it can.
Yeah, maybe, is that a gerund? Is that
a gerund?
Instead of
I
like
believe it's a gerund.
It's not an adjective or a
no,
adverb?
No,
it's
no,
a gerund.
No. I believe it's a gerund. Yeah,
wow.
A gerund. I'm sure I'll be corrected on that.
I don't even.
Where'd you go to school, Crafty Shakespeare?
I went to all boys Catholic school, high school, and then I went to UCLA. Mm-hmm.
They focused on the
because there was not another gender in our school, so we focused on things like grammar.
You're a wordsmith.
I am a wordsmith. Yeah,
just grammar.
I also went to UCLA, but I did not have the follow through to graduate. I
didn't know you went to UCLA.
Yeah. 89.
That's when I went there.
Oh, my God. Were
Go
you in
Bruins,
the theater?
Guys, right?
You weren't in the theater program.
No.
I would have seen you at McGowan Hall.
Yes.
But
yes,
did you do the TV video?
No, I entered UCLA in the math department.
Whoa.
And then I ended up in the philosophy department in Dodd Hall, which was like central campus. So.
When did the entertainment industry enter your cosmos?
It was always in the background. There was a stand-up comedy group at UCLA, so I was doing that.
Right.
But I just... I don't know. I was not a theater person, and
did you get on UCLA radio and DJ and like,
I did.
Say funny things?
I did too. Not regularly, but I dropped in. Like it was right at the back of Ackerman Union in the ballroom. Yeah.
Andy
Ackerman? You never heard of my show, Box of Squid? We had a radio program at the time.
I had no idea about any of this. Yeah. This is fucking amazing. I can't believe Will Forte was also running around there at the exact same time.
No kidding.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he went to UCLA too.
Whoa.
Same years. So we were all there running around at the same time.
What was his major?
I don't remember, but he was actually – he was in a fraternity, which was an interesting – he was a Lambda Chi – one of the ones like right on fraternity row. Like he was just
I
like,
can see it. I can see it.
Because he's kind of got a – he's kind of got that swagger, but he's really nice.
That's the strange dichotomy of Will Forte. He's got the he's got the traditional kind of look, like you can see him in a frat, but then he's also got like the mind of a performance artist, you know?
Yes.
It's a very strange combination. He's like the Big Sur of comedians.
He really is. Yeah. Will Forte is where sequoias have sex with a beach. That's like absolutely how you could describe him.
Mm.
Did you guys just stay in Big Sur for your honeymoon, or did you have to go someplace crazy?
No, then we went to crazy and went to we had a sweet honeymoon at first we had a party. That was the thing. We were super antisocial and eloped with Soaring, but then we went back to L.A. and said, let's have a party. And so everyone was invited to that, the parents and the friends and the family. But, you know, some of the family were a little disappointed that it was just a party and not the full ceremony.
Really? Who wants to sit through a whole wedding, though? I think
lots
if you just get to go
people
to a party, then that
parents
great?
Is going
to
be great.
Isn't that what weddings are for?
Yes.
Mainly the parents.
Mainly the parents and for my future wife.
Did you ask her father for her hand, that old traditional thing?
He actually put it on me.
Oh, really?
He
said, hey.
He was the first one to bring it up at the gym when we were working out together.
Oh, man, that's intimidating.
In Newton. Good old Newton, man.
Yeah, her dad's kind of a beast. Like, he goes to the gym all the time.
He's 70 years old, and he bench presses more than I do.
So was he spotting you at the time when he
like
the
head? We were in the locker room.
He was spotting.
So our dicks were out. So you can't say no to him about that. We're in the locker room. Yeah, no. And he, his, his, he introduced me to his friend Bob as his future son-in-law.
Wow.
Whoa. And then Bob, not knowing that this is the first time this has come up, asked when the wedding was. And then I was like, well, I haven't asked yet, but probably think I'll ask in the spring and probably get married in the fall. And that's what we ended up doing.
Now, did your father-in-law, your future father-in-law, was he like a guy that played football back when they had leather hats instead of helmets?
he's an interesting guy because he's Israeli.
Oh, wow.
So he was a paratrooper in the Israeli army.
Whoa.
Yeah, and then...
He's not that old. He wasn't like in the first...
No, it'd be like Vietnam. Yeah, and right. Then, but like he grew up in like a Jewish commune.
Wow.
Like he really didn't have much contact with his parents. He grew up with a bunch of kids. Yeah. It was really he's a fascinating guy.
Hey, Shana Tova, if you're listening. Hey, when does this air, by the way?
This is going up the 12th.
Oh, sweet.
I'll have been married for a day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Aw. Yeah, this is going up right before, because I think Goosebumps comes out that
October
next weekend.
October 16th.
The 16th, yeah. So it goes up.
Yeah,
right
it's only
that.
Like in 4 days, you guys. You
oh, my God. This is crazy. The anticipation that we're lying. This is like a month before this comes out. But,
no, but it's coming out, everyone listening right now. It's coming out in 4 days. Go see it.
I promise we'll talk about Goosebumps.
Pony up some cash for R.L. Stine.
He's so nice. Did you hang out with him?
I love him, yeah. We hung out right before we started shooting. To, you know, kind of get his blessing and get his notes on the script and all of that stuff.
He's such a sweet man because
this ventriloquist dummy needs to be more terrifying.
He, my buddy and I, Mike Furman, of the much lesser known comedy band Hard and Firm, did a song a few years ago based on this Gersberms meme of like the girl holding the Goosebumps books going, Gersberms, my favorite Bergs. And so, so we made a love song, but all in that, sir, where everybody Turk like theirs. And we got Swedish Chef, one of the Swedish Chef from the Muppets in it. And I pitched to R.L. Stine. Neil Gaiman connected me to R.L. Stine.
Oh my God.
And I said, you know, would you make a video at the end saying, I'm R.L. Stine and I support this message, you know? And he said, and he's such a sweet man. He wrote back and he was like, you know, I'm just concerned that this meme is making fun of some poor girl. And we're like, no. She was doing a character. There's nothing, you know, it's silly. It's all in good fun. And he goes, okay, well... And I thought I lost him completely. And he goes, okay, well, I'm comfortable saying that I don't support the message. And I was like, really? And he said, sure. So he pops up in the end and he said, I'm R.L. Stine and I didn't support this video.
See how clever and wonderful a man he is?
It's so wonderful.
And it's he's a sweet guy. He does. He really does care about not being too scary. I mean, he's scary, but he's... He always tries to strike the balance, and that was, you know, his main bit of advice.
You're how long have you been married now?
We're coming up on 10.
What?
Yeah.
No.
True.
Oh my God.
Yeah. February 22nd.
Oh shit! That just freaked me out. Yeah. I think I remember. Holy shit! Yeah, of course. Yeah.
We've got like a thousand photos because at the party we had a photo booth. Where everyone could just go in all night long and take like really high quality. It wasn't like a chintzy one. They were like high quality photos that we got to keep at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody got, they oh, didn't wow. pop out of a thing. And so now we've got these beautiful photos of all of our friends and family 10 years ago. So we were thinking maybe for our 10 year anniversary, we'll send out invites to the party at the same place with the photo of themselves in the...
Oh, that's fantastic.
Isn't that kind of a rad idea?
That's a cool. Super rad idea.
Kind of ruins the surprise, though, if anyone's listening who was at our wedding party. But, yeah.
Are you going to have a photo booth?
There is a photo booth, yeah, at the reception, yeah.
Oh, man.
It's going to be all the... A lot of fun.
We've already started playing. I just got engaged 4 days ago.
I know, congratulations and now, in person.
But it's already... Like a couple days later, I was like, well, here's the wedding book, and here's the... So we're already into...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Have you picked a date? Or a general vicinity of a date?
Not yet. I mean, yes and no.
How about this, a year?
Yeah, but, well,
2016?
Yeah, 2016. Yep. It looks like it's going to be 2016. Yeah. So,
Never thought you'd do it. I'm very proud of you.
Well, you know, when you meet a...
That's great... right. You see?
Yes.
See how that works?
Yes, when you meet a wonderful girl that you respect and want to, you know...
Isn't that amazing how that you... Fucking find it, you nail it, and you go, oh yeah, that's how.
Oh, this is what
work.
I'm supposed
yes,
to. Oh yeah,
that's the feeling you're supposed to get.
How did
Chris?
You know? How did you know it was the right thing to do?
I just knew. I don't know. I mean, there was no one singular thing, but you know, over the years, you're with different people, and you're always sort of looking for the exit hatch, and then you find someone where you're not. I spend a lot of
relationships pacing around the exit hatch. Yeah. It's like, oh, I found it. Should I leave?
I feel like some of my earlier relationships, the other person was dancing around the exit hatch. I'm like,
where? What's that door you're standing near? Where are you going?
You know. So, but
for me, it was a lot about trust too. I trusted her. As you get like kind of gains like a certain level of I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but, you know, recognition.
Mm-hmm.
You start to get really distrustful, or I did anyway, of people in general. It's kind of sad. It's the thing they don't tell you, but it comes along with celebrities, like this weird mistrust of everyone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there was something about her that was very trustworthy.
Yeah, because everyone wants... Because you never know what... I think your goals in a relationship have to be congruent. You know, and you never know what other people's goals are, and maybe, you know, particularly in that case, it could be, you know, it could have been, they're after money, or they're after the recognition by proxy, or they're after something that's not just you as a person, which is very problematic, and you don't, you know, the last thing you need in any situation is. Having to you want your personal life to be very peaceful and wonderful and respectful, and not like, what kind of crazy tornado is going on when I come home?
Yeah.
So I think that's nice.
Yeah. The security
is great.
Also, I liked her family. I thought that they were a good fit for my family.
It doesn't sound like...
Are you okay?
It's not very rock and roll, these reasons for, like, falling in love. But, like, there's weird considerations that go into those.
They don't have to be...
life decisions.
They don't have to be rock and roll. Rock and roll decisions are, by definition, temporary decisions.
And usually horrible decisions.
Yeah.
That was a rock and roll decision if ever I saw one.
You're saying that like it's positive, but everyone died.
Just jump off that third floor into the pool, bitch.
Rock and roll. I know it's not rock and roll to just take the elevator, but it'll get you where you need to go in a calm and peaceful way, and it won't fuck any of your friends. So that's another thing that
the way down to that pool,
all the way down. Basically. Yeah, it's not going to do that. Yeah, no, I think I'm so okay with the idea of not doing like rock and roll things, and I'm so okay with, you know.
Chris, you might be the least rock and roll person I know.
I would have to agree with you.
I like to focus on like EDM decisions now.
You're into glove dancing now.
Yeah.
So the Molly that's coursing through your veins right now.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not necessarily more responsible.
You wouldn't. The EDM decision is you don't necessarily jump into a pool off a balcony. Is
but
you crawl into the pool and try to fuck
but
it.
If you're going to do that, you do it on the downbeat.
But I think also. You know, it's kind of interesting because I think the character that people have in their mind when they think of like, oh, Jack Black, he's so rock and roll, yeah. You know, like that guy. I know you know that that's a separate guy.
Yeah.
But as you start to get older, you know, do you think you'll still manage? You'll be like, no, I'm a gentler, calmer Jack Black.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if there's really a transition into that. That other gear, but yeah, I am what I am. I do what I do. We'll see.
All right, so we've been talking to Popeye. Oh, we both went for the same. Oh, that's what we got to do. We got to reboot Popeye.
Hit a little pop on
oh my God, Jack! You were born to play this character. What's the problem? Why haven't we done this yet? Yeah. Not since Robert Altman have we had a Popeye movie.
Robin Williams, yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna pick up where he left off.
God damn it!
Please don't.
The strangest.
It's one of his great performances, though.
It is a
great. He does a great job.
It is a great performance, but it's almost like. You know what it was? Robert Altman making the Popeye movie would almost be like if Goosebumps was directed by Christopher Nolan. You know what I mean? It's like the disparity of the two of taking this thing and then making it this strange art piece.
Yeah,
instead of
I don't
kind
know.
Of.
I'll be into that if he does the sequel. I'm watching that.
You think Nolan
more like
Nolan
David
Christmas?
Lynch when he did Dune? You wouldn't think of David Lynch at the helm of this huge potential sci-fi franchise,
right? Yeah, I think
Dune could have been like Star Wars.
They thought it was going to be. Boy, they really thought it was going to be.
What were they thinking? Dave Lynch is the man. Have you seen Eraserhead? It's going to be huge.
I mean, the clues are all right there. We don't know what happened. We just don't know.
But in fairness, somebody made that. I guess Mel Brooks made that decision with regard to David Lynch for Elephant Man.
Oh, right.
Which is another head scratcher, but it worked perfectly.
Yeah, I guess ultimately you just never know. And the Mel Brooks connection to Elephant Man is so interesting.
I think it was his assistant at the time, Stuart Kornfeld, who now works for Ben Stiller. They have a company together, Red Hour.
Yep.
But I think it was Stuart Kornfeld that brought it to Mel Brooks and said, just trust me, it's going to be great.
I wonder if Mel Brooks knew he just saw it, went to premiere, like, there were no elephants! Like, he just didn't know. He thought it was going to be this broad comedy about, like a half-elephant person.
I don't know. But his wife was amazing.
Mel Brooks also did the... speaking of the Twilight Zone, he's responsible for the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror at Disney.
No.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
How?
Because it was going to be a Vertigo ride.
Oh, so indirectly responsible.
No, but they were working it out, and he was like, you know, this might work better as a Twilight Zone.
Whoa.
And they were like, well, let's check into that. And they're like, all right.
So Mel Brooks. Wait, so that would have been Alfred Hitchcock Vertigo, right? Oh, no, but there was a Mel Brooks Vertigo.
The Mel Brooks movie Vertigo. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was going to be like a funny...
Yeah, it was going to be like a funny elevator ride.
Oh, yeah. No, he's right. Yeah.
You're also thinking of High Anxiety, by the way.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
High anxiety. It was going to be a High Anxiety ride.
Why would I say Vertigo?
Because of the thing, because he used the gag.
Same gag, yeah.
They stole the Vertigo gag.
Guys.
I still have not been on Tower of Terror.
Oh, it's the best.
The reason I have not been on Tower of Terror is because... sometimes, and I can ride the roller coasters, no problems, but sometimes if I'm getting dropped, I get nauseous, and so I'm afraid of like...
Well, don't think of it getting dropped. Think of it as getting pulled.
What?
You're getting pulled down,
not
dropped.
Oh. No, do not go on that ride, because if you don't like being dropped, it is such an intense drop. Your stomach does go up to your eyeballs.
I don't want to throw up and then be falling at the same rate as my throw up and then just seeing it floating there in front of my face.
And that's when the picture is taken.
Actually, that would be pretty rad.
That floating vomit?
This ride's haunted. No, that's my mom.
That'd be pretty rad. Oh, you just puked up a Mickey shaped waffle. God, I love that place so much.
On an empty stomach. Yeah.
Where are you guys going for your honeymoon?
Iceland and England.
Dude. Iceland is the call.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, that's everyone's been telling me. I've never been there, but people say that it's like another planet because it's new.
Yeah.
It's like the lava has not even dried yet on that country.
Uh-huh.
And it's a mixture, another mixture, guys.
Uh-oh.
Volcanoes and icicles.
I'm into it.
It's the Will Forte of countries.
I'm excited.
Yes.
I've never been there either. I'm surprised the D never played Iceland.
I know. The land of Bjorks.
Why
didn't we? We haven't. That's one place we haven't gone.
I can't believe it. I just assumed you guys, they played everywhere.
Well, we play anywhere that we suspect we have an audience, you know. We actually made the mistake of thinking, you know, we got an offer from Korea, from South Korea to go play. And
it's probably the better one to play.
It was a very generous offer, and we're like, kind of, let's, you know what? We've never been to Asia. Let's make this a tour. Let's make a tour out of this. Because, you know, you always hear the thing about, you know, you think you're big here, you go to Japan and you see you're even bigger.
Right.
I'm still big in Japan. but that was not the case for us. We were not big in Japan at all.
No.
But there were still people. When we played Tokyo, there was like a bunch of dudes from Los Angeles that happened to be in Tokyo. So we got a crowd.
Nice.
And there were some Japanese people too, but we didn't get that thing that you hear about where it's like... Words clap, 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 silence.
Right.
Respect.
Right.
Should
have played Budokan.
Yeah, Budokan.
How was South Korea?
Then it really would have been empty. That place is too big. South Korea also severely unattended. underattended, I should say. But we were huge in Malaysia, turns out. And not to mention Singapore. They love us in Singapore.
Is that true?
Oh, it's true.
Okay, good.
Had a very good showing. Anyways.
Are you guys going to tour? Are you? Is the D coming? Are you going to tour anytime soon again?
No. I mean, we've been doing like little one-offs. We'll go and do a festival in Chicago, Denver, and a couple Canada dates. But yeah, not a real tour. Our last album, Rise of the Phoenix, came out in 2012. So we've been going around the world playing shows for 4 years. And that's plenty. That's when you're supposed to stop and focus on the next album. Really, you just – I think what you're supposed to do, what normal rock bands do, is they put out an album. They tour for a year, a calendar year, maybe a year and a half. That's getting greedy.
Jeez.
And then you get buckled down and write the next album. Me and Kyle are on a much slower cycle. We go like 4 years, and then we get back to business. So yeah, next year is going to be focused entirely on writing the next album.
Is the Goosebumps movie is this the kind of do you get to take a break after this movie comes out for a little bit?
Kind of. I got another juggernaut to promote after that in Kung Fu Panda, but. You know, I got that TV show, too. I got The Brink that's on HBO. We'll do another season of that after, you know, next year. And then Festival Supreme. I've always kind of got that lurking in the background. I got too many things.
I've
got children, also. I have to focus on that.
Festival Supreme, I'm always so heartbroken that I – because you have asked. The last couple of years, you've asked me
to do
it.
We'll get you.
And I'm always out of town because I set up as many tour dates as I can throughout the year. And I'm
You're another
in the
one.
Same
You're
city.
Another one that's doing too many things.
You're really
doing too many
I'm
things.
I'm doing a few. Do you ever envision a time where you're like, enough, I'm done. I don't want to do anything else. I just want to stay at home.
Are you kidding me? I'm constantly envisioning that time. I look at my Google Calendar and I get nauseous when I see like, oh, when is the next time I have actual free time? There it is. And I'll circle it and I'll block it out and say, that's my little nirvana time. You know, you got to block out time or else it gets filled up.
You just listen to Bleach.
That was one of the great albums, now that you mention it. Bleach.
This is nirvana time.
Were you into Bleach before?
Yes. Yeah.
See, we're the chosen few. The few of us who knew about Nirvana before. We already knew that they were the best band going. Have you seen that documentary?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Holy cannoli. I love it. Oh, Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck.
Montage of Heck, yeah. I've read some stories that it wasn't exactly. I don't know. I never know what to believe when
accurate.
I see it. Yeah, I never know what to believe when
I. Well, you know, the documentarian always is shaping the story to, you know, the story they want to tell to a degree. But there's just no denying some of that stuff. I mean, it's beautifully told, I thought. I know what you're talking about, though. The guy Buzz from the Melvins came out and said, I knew him better, and I know that that's not true. But I questioned that testimony.
Maybe
that sounds like a
article.
Dude.
I question that guy.
Just doesn't like anyone else, you know, being, you know.
Kyle would probably know. He knows everything about music.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, it gets very personal, and, you know, you see him with his baby and he's totally wasted on heroin. There's some dark, dark passages. But the thing I responded to is just the music. I loved those songs so much. And to see the lyrics come to life, it's like, holy shit, that's what he was singing about. I never knew what those lyrics meant. It was very illuminating.
You've swayed me.
I was like, holy shit, a denial! Oh! There's so many revelations. I never put those things together. It was huge. But to be fair, I was totally obsessed with Cobain, so I come at it with a different perspective than anyone who wasn't aware of Bleach before. Never mind.
He really was a very special goose who bumps into the traditional music genre.
No, he destroyed a genre single-handedly.
I was trying to bring it back to Goosebumps.
Oh, go that!
See?
Goosebumps. Yeah, it comes out. Wait, in 4 days.
Well, as far as these people, as far as these people know, in terms, because this is live. This is totally live.
Yeah. You're gonna, when you hit pause, we actually take a break.
That's right. Yeah. In a minute, we're gonna go to traffic on the ones.
Yeah.
So when did you, how did you get involved with it, and what was it that made you? Do your kids read Goosebumps books?
No, and I had never read a Goosebumps book. I just am friends with the director who was developing this project. I was like, "What are you working on?" And I'm working on this, and I'm working on that. And I was like, "What do you mean Goosebumps? What's Goosebumps?" He said, "Oh, it was a really popular series of kids' books, and I'm developing it into a movie." And I said, "Send that shit over. Let me read it." And I read it, and it was rad. It was a magnificent script. And I said, "I'm gonna play this guy. I don't know what your plans are, but I'm taking over." And you know, I had had fun working with him in the past. We did a cartoon, Shark Tale, and we did Gulliver's Travels, and I was like, those were good, but I felt like there was potential to really hit it out of the park in a way that we hadn't before, because I just knew he was a fun director and he had a vision for this one that was a little more personal for him. And I was like, this one's going to kick ass, and god damn it, if we weren't right. We just cranked it out of the park. You'll see. Certified fresh.
It does get the seal of certified freshness.
My only fear is that the mothers of America are going to be too scared to bring their kids to a slightly scary film, but that's you don't have to worry about it. It was because we took R.L. Stein's advice to heart, and it's scary and it's funny, but it's in the right amounts.
I think a lot of the mothers of America grew up reading those books.
That's true too.
You know?
Yeah.
So like,
so maybe they'll just come and not bring their kids. I don't know. We'll see. But I think when word gets out, people are going to be really into it. That's my hope.
And do you think is this a movie that do you think kids will go to with their parents, or do you think kids will young kids will go just like in groups of kids? Like who do you envision?
Well, I'm going to take my kids. I have a 7 and a 9-year-old.
Yep.
So those kids, obviously, you have to have the parents come, and you have to sell the parents on the fact that this is not going to damage them. They're not going to have nightmares from this, because my kids, I know, like monsters and scary things,
right?
To a degree. There's something about it that makes you feel like you are not a baby anymore,
right?
And yeah, they're cool, you know. They just look so. There's that. I think it probably starts there around 7 and goes up to probably the target. I mean, the sweet spot for the kids is probably 7 to 14, somewhere around that.
So it's just like Scanners.
What's Scanners? What does that have to do with?
What are you talking about?
14?
You never saw Scanners?
Yeah, the heads explode.
Yeah, exactly.
But what does that have to do with 7 to 14?
I was just guessing that would be exactly
that movie is going to be like Scanners.
It's going to be just like Scanners.
Obviously not. No, that was just That would be NC-17 if it was out now, right?
I think it's
hard dick over it.
No.
Mostly people talking in a barn.
Yeah.
I don't remember. You know what? That was a thing. I was probably 7 to 14 when Scanners came out, and I remember it being the most terrifying possible movie.
Yeah, I'm not sure the effects completely hold up.
Well, the effects look great.
They still do?
There's 4 effects in the movie.
Yeah. There's 4 head explode? Head pops?
There's 1 head explode, 3 people get shot, mostly people talking in a barn.
Yeah,
or maybe an office.
Yeah. So just for those reasons, the kids probably wouldn't like it. I think they'd like to see the heads exploding.
Yeah, and farmers consider barns their offices.
I think of it more along the lines of a Ghostbusters, where there's a bunch of scary creatures around, but it's also funny.
Yeah,
that tempers it. You think of Ghostbusters more of a comedy than a scary film.
Of course it is.
But it's a mixture of the genres in a way that you don't see very often. Funny, scary,
right,
for kids. And we also have to go out and suck all of the monsters and creatures back into the original manuscripts from whence they came. And so that's similar to the sucking of the ghosts in Ghostbuster back into the plasmic boxes or whatever they called them. So there's actually a lot of similarities between those two films.
That's cool. Yeah. You basically made a Ghostbusters movie.
Exactly.
Are you...
But without all that weird sexism that they got going right now. Do you know about the two twin Ghostbusters franchises coming head-to-head against each other?
No.
Well, they got the one that sounds rad with the female leads taking over.
Well, I know about that one. Yes, of course.
But then they got Dan Aykroyd going, no, no.
This was intended for men.
Are you serious?
This is men behaving ghostedly.
I don't...
And we're doing it. We're going ahead with it with men
I think
he's
probably not.
No, have you heard about this?
No.
Am I making this up? I've heard about this is happening. But I don't know where you're going to find the male actors that are going to go along with that. It sounds crazy.
Where's our movie? Where's the movie for men? Like, that's such a crazy stance it's to take. Such a crazy Ray stance.
But I think I think there's an audience for that stance. They're the same people that, you know, are voting for Trump.
They're women.
I cherish women, and they should just not be in Ghostbusters, but they should be cherished.
I hope he says that in the debate. I honestly, yeah, it's the same. Ghostbusters. Of course, he would put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
I won't cast them.
No,
I'll cherish them. Put them in the beauty contest, and leave it at that. The cherished glass menagerie. Of top 10 hotties to be cherished in my collection.
I think it's the entire audience is, you know, men 25 to 50 who had a bad relationship with their mom.
Yeah.
Like, who didn't, no one hugged them when they were young. That's basically what that was. They didn't get the love. I think I am so, and you know, Ghostbusters is one of my favorite movies of all time. And
me
too. I am still very excited from what I've seen from the new one that's coming out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think people just want to be snarky about stuff, but I'm excited about it. Do you think it's important for you to make movies that your kids can see? Or
I don't even think about that, but that's not true. On this one, I did, because I knew my boys were really – my boys are really into this game, Five Nights at Freddy's, which is a
– Oh, yes.
It's actually a terrifying little app. I'm probably a bad father for letting them play
it. It's basically like the Chuck E. Cheese kind of – yeah.
So they're obsessed with this game about a Chuck E. Cheese type restaurant where at night the animatronic animals come to life and terrorize the night watchman. And I think they eat him or force him into one of the costumes. A touch force screen.
Mm-hmm. A force touch, yeah.
Force touch, thank you. and my boys, are into scary stuff. And I thought, yeah, this Goosebumps movie, this is a thing, a project whose time has come. That did cross my mind, must admit. And that's not really like making a movie for my kids. Well, it is. I mean, it's something that I think they would like.
Well, that's kind of nice. Is it be like, you know, it sounds like your kids are pretty cool and you're a pretty cool dad. You want to make a pretty cool movie so you can take your pretty cool kids. You know, it's like, you know what? It'd kind of be kind of a bummer if you made a thing and then you're like, oh, yeah, you can't see that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't see that for another several years.
Well, I still make those too. Let's face it.
Have you shown them King Kong?
No, they haven't seen King Kong. I just, for the first time, a couple weeks ago, showed them School of Rock. They had not seen it.
Loved it.
And then I was like, you know, because I don't know, I feel weird showing them my movies because then I'm saying, okay, no, we're not going to watch it today. We're going to watch one of Daddy's movies, and you're going to see what Daddy does for a living. It just seems like that's something they should discover on their own.
They must have liked School of Rock, though.
They did. They dug it. It was cool.
Have you shown them Pick of Destiny?
Of course not. No. Even though, weirdly, they'd probably love that one.
I bet you they would.
It's just the pot smoking that I don't think they need to know about yet.
not yet.
Not yet.
But you know, kids have the internet, so I just assume like, they know about everything now. Yeah. You know, what the fucking. You know, there's some of the biggest Vine stars are like vaping accounts where people just blow weird smoke rings.
Yeah.
So I just assume, like, oh, well, all kids know about everything.
It's pretty cool.
That's the weird thing, though, is my band, Tenacious D, is very childish, and kids would love the humor if we didn't work so blue, the language. But kids love that, too.
Yeah.
My boys actually love Tenacious D. We have clean versions of our albums.
How do you clean up Sex Supreme?
Hilariously. When you replace curse words with not curse words, it actually can sometimes be funnier than the original.
Have you ever been worked on by two guys who are hot for your snap peas? Like, they just like it just sort of...
I don't remember what we substituted that. We might not have a clean version of that album. That's the first album.
Tenacious Daytime, where it's just all like daytime Disney versions of all the Tenacious D classics.
Daytime. They like Throw Down, though. We have one about... about the evils of organized religion, which is weird. As I'm driving them to Hebrew school, and we're listening to Throw Down.
I honestly think you guys would make a shit ton of money if you took the first album and just and made them all kid friendly somehow. Because then the parents would be exactly the right age. They're like, oh my god, the D! I can listen to the D in the car.
Yeah,
but the kids can listen to it too.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think there's a market there. Yeah. I think there's a market there. It may not be a quote unquote rock and roll decision.
I'm trying to raise rock and roll kids.
But that's all right. Well, Goosebumps comes out October 16th, which is, as far as you know, 4 days from now. And people should go see it. Is there anything else you want to plug about the movie?
No, but also come to Festival Supreme on October. Oh, this will be right after Fest's up. Never mind. Yeah, just come to Goosebumps.
Man, we had a great time at Festival Supreme.
It was so good, man.
I can't believe it. I can't believe how
many. Giant Word.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah.
They're playing?
Yeah. Can't we put this out on the 9th?
Can we scoot it up a little bit to promote Festival Supreme? If there's any way we can do that, we absolutely will. So we can get a little Festival Supreme. You know, you start your week with Festival Supreme, and then you bookend it with Goosebumps. Yeah, we can do that. So it's in a week it comes out.
Fest's up October 10. Goosebumps October 16.
What's the venue this year for?
It's going to be at the Shrine Auditorium in Expo Hall.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's good. It's a sweet spot.
Who's playing?
I said, you got Diant Word that's going to close out the night and shut it down properly. And then we got The Darkness.
Yes.
An amazing British rock band that's very funny. Get Your Hands Off My Woman, Motherfucker.
Yes. They also have a great cover of Street Spirit by Radiohead.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah,
I gotta hear that.
It's really good. Street Spirit Fade Out. It's a really great cover.
I love
great cover by The Darkness.
Also, Dan Deacon. I don't know if you've ever seen him work a crowd, but no one works a crowd like Dan Deacon. He's this DJ who has all these rules, and you just have to follow them. He's like, you in the red pants, you stand over there and do this with your arms. You over there, the girl with the silver top, go over there and do this. And then the whole crowd is copying what some people are doing, and it just is an amazing thing to behold. But we also got Mystery Science Theater 3000 going to do a reunion and do like a crazy film. They're going to do a live version of it. We got – I think I mentioned was I talking about that guy, Nathan For You?
Yeah,
Nathan Fielder is going to come out. I don't know what he's going to do. It's my favorite television show. But I told him,
we're going to fix the festival for you.
That's what I was asking him, if he could come and like fix our festival. A ton of amazing people. Amy Poehler. Check out festivalsupreme.com.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Jack, your third appearance on the Nerdist podcast, which is hard to believe.
Yeah.
And you guys were so kind the last time you were here to play some 80s jams.
Of course.
Which was a lot of fun.
That was amazing. I didn't realize your pipes were still so strong.
They're not JB pipes.
There's no rust on them.
Are you still doing the voice? Are you still doing the vocal lessons?
Of course. Well, not lessons.
Not lessons. The exercise
with
warm-ups. The coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not with the coach. I've graduated.
You've become the master.
Exactly. The teacher has become the
teaching the master how to master.
What does the teacher turn? The teacher has become the student.
The teacher has become obsolete.
The teacher has been forced out of teaching because budgets were cut.
You are obsolete.
Jack Black, thank you so much for being back on the Nerdist Podcast.
Thank you.
Festival Supreme and Goosebumps coming to venues that you should attend. The end. All right. Enjoy your burrito.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jake.
Mission accomplished. Oh, boy. Did I tell you? I probably should have done this on tape, but.
Shit's still recording?
No, really?
Yeah. You don't have to.
I don't know if I want to tell
you.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
Did I tell you about my vocal coach? The way that he taught me?
Last time you were here, you said. I didn't get any real specifics, but it was just about elongating your vocal cord.
Okay, I didn't tell. But my first vocal coach, I was like, this was when Tenacious D was already established.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know, 29, 30. He was a guy, I can't remember his name, but his thing was, you got to sing from here. And he would put his hand down like where my, so what is it? The diaphragm?
Diaphragm, yeah.
But I was like, I think that's lower than my diaphragm, sir. And he was getting close to my genitals. You really have to sing for me. He was like enjoying this weird relationship. And I was like, this is a bad, I'm not getting,
you know, your
vocal.
Voice starts down under here. And
okay.
And then it just, and then you just massage it all the way out.
So anyway, yeah, no, I'm not receiving vocal coaching anymore. But
by vocal coaching, you mean a massage oil hand jobs.
Exactly. So yeah, that's. I'm glad we covered that too.
Yeah, we got it all done. We've buttoned it all up. I hope you come back.
We can't leave on that note. Why didn't I just leave that story off the
No,
books?
It was a good story.
Right.
It, it was something that you needed to get off your chest, and
all
I'm
right,
glad that
anyway.
You did.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Rhea Seehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.